Well, these last few weeks we've been working through Luke's account in the preparation for today, the Resurrection Sunday. And so once again we turn to the Gospel of Luke, this week to Luke 23, verse 55, and we will read through chapter 24, verse 12. Our focus today will be on the witness of the women. The witness of the women. Luke 23, beginning with verse 55. Christ, of course, has been crucified. We celebrated that just a couple days ago. He has been carried to the tomb. He has been placed in the tomb. Guards have been set before the tomb. The tomb has been sealed. And now on Resurrection Sunday, on the day after the Sabbath, we see the women coming to minister to their Lord. Luke 23, beginning verse 55. And the women who had come with him from Galilee followed after, and they observed the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.'" And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them, who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. Thus ends the reading of God's holy and inspired word. May the Lord add his blessing to it. So many witnesses to the resurrection of our Lord. You had the involuntary witnesses of the guards who were standing there, and they were struck as dead. You had the witnesses of the thunder clouds and the earth shaking and the darkening of the sky, even as our Lord was put to death. Further in Scripture, we read of hundreds of witnesses of the resurrected Lord. We have the witnesses of our text here, the disciples and the others who were with them, who saw our Lord raised from the dead. But today I'd like to consider these women, an undisclosed number of women, women who only a couple of them are even mentioned, but the witness of these women. These women who saw the body being placed in the grave. These women who sought to minister to Jesus by preparing his body for burial. But the Sabbath day came upon them and they needed rest. And so despite that, they came just as early as they possibly could on the first day when they could deal with this body lying in the grave, because they so honored their Lord. In their testimony, their observations, their witness. You see, witnesses are all around us. The author to the Hebrews speaks of the great cloud of witnesses. We have witnesses to what the Lord has done here. I've been in this congregation for just over 12 years, and I think back on how much things have changed over the time. We don't think so much about it as the day by day goes on, but you can see in the crowd those who had sat here years ago. There's John, and there's Bobby, and there's Myron, and there's Virginia, and there's Phil, and there's so many faces that come to mind of those who have been here for, I've just been here 12 years, many of you for decades and decades, and you can give testimony of so many more of God's saints who have filled these pews. And that's an encouragement for God's people. But think now of how God has been pleased to give testimony of the resurrection of Christ. Time and time again, He gives first-hand eyewitness account of this risen Christ, the one who was truly dead, who truly had the spear through his side, who was truly laid in the grave, who had that grave sealed, who had guards set upon it, and the witnesses who watched as that grave is now empty. These women watched Him be laid in the grave. They spied Him at precisely where He was put at that abbreviated funeral service on Friday night. And now they see the empty tomb, and they're confronted with the angels who remind them of what Jesus Himself had promised. Witness to the resurrection of these women. First, we see that they were witnesses to the burial. This was not a case of a mistaken GPS coordinates, that they just went to the wrong cemetery or to the wrong gravesite and someone gave them bad information. No, they were there. These are the women who had come from Galilee, and they observed the tomb and how He was laid. They could see Him being brought into this tomb and being placed in it, and they were eyewitnesses watching their Lord Jesus Christ be laid in. These are a group of faithful women. Chapter 24 mentions just a few of these women. But in chapter 23, we see them first mentioned. Just a few verses prior to this, in verse 27, we see that a great multitude of the people followed Him, and women also mourned and lamented Him. There were so many witnesses, but this group of women is singled out and identified by Luke as he is giving the apologetic to Theophilus of this risen Lord. And he's highlighting now, consider these women who are witnesses. They were following Him. They were mourning Him. They went to the crucifixion. They watched Him, and they followed all the way down to the burial point. Consider their testimony, Luke is saying. And this same group of women lament all the way to the grave. Luke is emphasizing the faithfulness of so many women to our Lord. They were on the path to the cross. They were among the gathered mass at the cross. Now they continue to minister to their Lord all the way to the tomb. In the Gospels, we see much mocking, much scoffing of our Lord, much abusing of Him by the throngs and of the leaders. But there are also those who did not join in this abuse. They are those who mourn the abuse. They are those who mourn the death of their friend, their son, of their Lord, Jesus Christ. And among the faithful, there were many, as this largely unnamed group of ladies who Luke chooses to highlight for our edification. These women scrupulously honor their Lord. They had standards, they had morals, they had an ethic that they would follow. They honor the Son, and following Him all the way from Galilee to the road to Calvary, to the cross, and now to the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. Of what they have, they freely give to their Lord, as Jesus is hastily placed in the grave before the Sabbath day. These ladies honored His funeral with tears. As Matthew Henry noted of their presence at the grave, here was a silent funeral and not a solemn one, and yet His rest was glorious. This silent funeral of just a few moments before the Sabbath day rest fell upon them, we find these ladies attending to our Lord. But they honor God. They honor the Sabbath of our Lord. In so many ways in which these ladies desired to honor their Lord Jesus, they desired to prepare the Lord's body for His committal to the ground. An honorable service. Time-sensitive service, as by Sunday they would expect the stench to already be substantial. But more important than avoiding the stench, more important than giving honor to the one whom they loved, is their unwavering commitment to obey God on the Sabbath day rest. And they rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Obedience to God is always the honorable path. Thus, these ladies rested on the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Even in serving the Son, these women knew that they must do so in an obedient manner. Otherwise, even their service is shrouded in disobedience and contempt. Then these same women prepare to fulfill their service at the very first opportunity. So we see them on Friday night preparing the fragrances, preparing the oils, and resting on the Sabbath day. And just as early as they can, on Sunday morning, they're there at the grave. When they're called to rest, they rest. When they're called to labor, they labor. A people committed to honoring the Lord. We see their confirmation of this witness for our benefit, for the church. Here is one further line of proof for the death, the burial, the resurrection of our Lord. This group of women, many unnamed, some named, who stand as witnesses to Jesus' sacrificial death. They watched Him be buried. They witnessed the open tomb on Resurrection Day. Layer upon layer the Lord gives us in order to confirm us in our faith. He could just tell us Jesus was buried and He rose again, and that's God's word and it should be sufficient to us. But God knows our weakness, and He gives us these witnesses who can say, I saw the empty tomb. I saw the guards lying there. I saw the stone rolled away. I spoke with the angels. They reminded me of what Jesus Himself said. They testify of our Lord. So they witnessed His burial, and they also, secondly, witnessed the empty tomb. We see this in the first 8 verses of chapter 24. In the first day of the week, in the morning, they go to see, to minister to Christ. They were willing to go through whatever it took in order to honor their Lord and to prepare His body for burial. There had been guards up until this time. The lady saw the guards assigned, and they were there for the whole time. They were there at the specific demand of the Jewish leaders that were afraid that this tomb would show up empty. They knew that Jesus had said, must be put to death and raise again. And they were afraid that His followers would somehow pull a fast one and would sneak Him out. In God's providence, He uses their suspicious minds, their guilt, in order to confirm the resurrection of Christ Himself. In Matthew 27, we read that Pilate said to them, and this is the Jewish leaders, "You have a guard, go your way, make it as secure as you know how, And so they went and they made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard. Pilate says, you want to make sure it's secure? You have my authority to do whatever it takes. These Jewish leaders had not a foot to stand on to say that, oh, we couldn't make it secure. They couldn't prepare it. Pilate said, do whatever it takes. I'm not going to be responsible for you guys. Seal it. Seal it tight. And they did. Thus God himself sets further witnesses to the resurrection, and that also for our assurance. Matthew tells us that these guards were on duty and awake when the earth shook and the stone was removed and Jesus walked out. We read of that in Matthew 28. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. And his countenance was like lightning and his clothes as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. Yeah, that would be terrifying. And it was another witness. For the entire time between the women watching Jesus be buried and their return on Resurrection Sunday, there were Roman guards watching the tomb of our Lord. And these same ladies took careful note on Friday of precisely where that body would be laid. Thus, there's no confusion. Many men, women watched him be placed, and these same many women witnessed that Jesus was no longer there. There's no avoiding the obvious. Jesus walked out of his tomb being raised from the dead. And these women further hear the testimony of the two angels. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said, why do you seek the living among the dead? You imagine these ladies in confusion. He was just here. We watched him on Friday night, and now the tomb's empty. What happened? And then these two angels standing there explain it all to them. Two men. Further context reveals that they are certainly heavenly messengers who had come in the form of men. Thus the countenance of these women changed from sorrow to confusion to fear and finally to rejoicing in just a few minutes. Why seek the living among the dead? Our entire comfort, redemption, and hope of glory is wrapped up in this simple question of the angels. Why seek the living among the dead? Jesus, the perfect God-man, was put to death for our sins, and these women all stood as witnesses. And this same Jesus, the perfect God-man, was buried in the ground for 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and the ladies expected to find the stinking corpse of their dear friend Jesus, and they stood as witnesses that he was raised. He is not dead. Death is defeated. The power of sin has been defeated. In Jesus' resurrection, we have the hope of glory. Or using the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all shall be made alive, but each one in his own order. Christ the first fruits, and afterwards those who are Christ's at his coming. So let's remember the promise. Even as these angels reminded the women, remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered and rise again. From the garden until now, all of Scripture has pointed us towards this glorious day. This is the pinnacle of the created order. Christ walking out of the tomb. And more pointedly now, the angels remind these faithful women of the promises which Jesus himself had made. We should not be surprised. Jesus said this is what he would do. Words which they did not understand at the time, but now these words are revealed in their full meaning, which Jesus had intended. We read about it in Luke 18. Behold, we are going to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles, and will be mocked, and will be insulted, and will be spit upon, and they will scourge him and kill him, and the third day he will rise again. But they understood none of these things. But now these women understand it. Now as they stand by the empty tomb, now as the angels remind them of these words, now the Holy Spirit fills their mind and they recognize, yes, yes, Jesus said this. Yes, we should not be surprised. Yes, this is a fulfillment of prophecy. Because God's word is always true. What a glorious word of assurance from God. He does not leave these women to figure it out on his own, but he gives his infallible word to his angels to be messengers to them to say, this is precisely what happened. Thus, these women, through these angels, have the testimony of God concerning the resurrection of Jesus. What these women had in the angels, we have in Scripture. We also have the testimony of God of what happened here. Holy and inspired. Both the words of these angels and Holy Scripture point us to the perfect, completed work of Jesus for our salvation. Both, as God's very word, are holy, without error, sufficient for our salvation. And we have both the inspired word of the angels and the inspired words of Scripture right here in our text for our comfort. And for the assurance of our salvation. And they remembered his words. Dearly beloved, when we have times of doubt, when we have question, this is our comfort as well. Go to the word of God and remember his words. Because his words are sufficient for us. They're sufficient for our salvation. They're without error and they are for our good. The Holy Spirit here carefully applies the Holy Word of God at just the right moment. Now, today, standing with the angels in front of the empty tomb, these ladies remember those things which Jesus had said about his impending sacrifice on the cross and subsequent resurrection. This was the Word of God. And now they recognize it. So thirdly and finally, the women testify of the resurrection. They immediately testified of those things of the other to the other disciples, that is, the 11 apostles. And those others who followed after Jesus, they were all gathered to mourn the death of Christ. They immediately went to them and bore testimony of what they had said. And they were gave a comprehensive testifying. They told them all the things that they had seen. The faithful servant of God will proclaim the whole counsel of God, as Luke later tells us in Acts 20. Undoubtedly, this was a report from A to Z of all that they had said, beginning with the plan of caring for the body, including the care they took to note the placement of the body, the removed stone, the angelic message, and even to the revelation of the true meaning of Jesus' words. They testify of this to the disciples, to the apostles, to all who were gathered. And it's a humble testimony. We see this in verse 10. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother, James, the other women who told these things to the apostles. It's worth noting that these women reported their findings to the apostles. In so doing, they're showing deference to those 11 whom Jesus had sent out to serve him. These apostles of Jesus must be made aware of the wonderful development of Resurrection Sunday. It shows real humility to go first to those appointed by the Lord himself as ambassadors of the gospel. But sadly, there was an unbelieving reception. The word seemed to them like idle tales. They did not believe them, we read. These gathered disciples would not believe the women, to their shame. Rather than either believe or at least to seek to fully understand, they dismissed the testimony of these women as being delusions. To dismiss a testimony because you do not esteem the one who brings the message is folly. And that's precisely what these gathered disciples did. These disciples as a whole responded foolishly to the testimony of these women, the eyewitnesses who told all that they had seen. But there was one positive response, and the Gospel of John tells us of another. Peter, and John tells us John also went with Peter to this open grave. And upon seeing the empty tomb, we see that Peter also marvels. He does not yet fully comprehend the extent of this work of Jesus, but he's beginning to see the Lord for who he is. Not just his good friend, not just a good earthly master, but beginning to see Jesus as the risen Savior, the eternal King, the God over all creation. We each grow in our Christian walk and in our Christian understanding. We don't begin with a full orb comprehension. And we see that with Peter as well. He's just a man like us. We see the lights beginning to turn on for Peter here. Already the women have begun to understand the teaching of Jesus, and now Peter is quickly catching up. And we will see Peter growing into one of the most powerful servants of our Lord. But he begins with baby steps. That's the same with you and I, isn't it? We don't begin with a full orbed understanding of the gospel, but we begin with baby steps. And continuing to learn, continuing to grow, continuing to study, continuing to see this risen Lord. And that beginning faith, that maturing faith, that growing faith is given strength when we come and partake of the Lord's Supper. Or watch the Lord's Supper if you are not able to partake of it. And taste and see and witness and watch that the body of our Lord was broken for us, and thereby our faith is strengthened. As Peter continues to grow, so must we. Where are you in your Christian walk? Do not be dismayed if it is the faith of a young Christian. But like the women, like Peter, like all the children of God, grow from where you are currently planted. Strive continually moving forward in our understanding of our Lord. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And we will see the work of our risen Lord. Amen.